All right, saints of God. John chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. And I even have a title today: The Ordinary into the Exquisite. The Ordinary into the Exquisite. That's the title. The Ordinary into the Exquisite. Titles. But let's go into prayer before we go into word. Heavenly Father, you are good. You are amazing, Lord. Thank you just for the glory, God, you've been showing me in your word, God, just all week, Lord. You just shining on me, God, and I pray that that same glory, that shine, God, that you bring it to my brothers and sisters, God, as they open up your word, God. Will you speak to them, God? Will you speak a word, Lord, God? May they feel your presence, God. May they feel your breath, Lord, as we read the scriptures, God, and learn of you, Lord. Touch your people today, God. Grow us in our understanding, God. Bring us closer to your heart through your word, God. Help us to see your glory, Lord. That is our prayer in your son Jesus' name. Amen. And so today, saints, today's message is really I hope to just build your faith. That's really the ultimate goal. I could build your faith through the word of God. I hope that I could build your faith in Jesus this morning even more. So today, this passage that I'm reading, I'm coming by a way of reminder. And my goal is to really build you up in Jesus, to keep your hope and your faith in Jesus, especially to you who are right now low in faith, to you who need a faith refill, so to speak, where you feel like my faith is just so low, I'm just so spiritually weak. I pray that God's word today just builds you up. So I'm here to just build you up. I'm here to build up my brother or sister who's going through their Psalm 77 moment. You guys remember when we went through Psalm 77? And we talked about how that psalmist there, he lost all hope in God, so to speak. He began to doubt if God's grace and mercy had run out. He thought God had walked away from him. He thought God was no longer there, and he was so down to the point that just the word of God brought anger or trouble to his mind. Remember that psalm we looked at? And I'm sure that some of us may even right now, if not in the past, be going through those moments where you just feel so low, so down. And I'm just here to remind you to keep on believing and trusting in Jesus, that he is still that miracle worker. Jesus is still there. He is still doing things. He is still changing lives. So keep your hope in that Lord, that miracle worker in Jesus. Keep trusting and believing that he can change things and make a way. And so that's really my ultimate goal here, is just to keep building you up, to put your trust and your faith in Christ Jesus. And so today we're going to read through John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Let's see what the word of God says here. So let's read through it and then we'll come back. All right? Chapter 2 of John, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Okay, party over here, right? When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not come yet." His mother said to the servants, I love this verse. God, this verse is fire. Look what Mary says to the servant, to the waiter. Whatever he says to you, what does she say? Do it. Oh, that is fire. Whatever he says to you, do it. Oh, goodness. Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Those are pretty big water pots, right? Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them up to the brim. Verse 8, and he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it to him. Verse 9, when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first. When the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poor wine. But you, my friend," he doesn't say my friend, "but you have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And his disciples believed in him. So let's go paint the scene here. So we have Jesus and his disciples and his mother at a wedding. So this tells us something about the wedding, right? If Jesus' mother's there and Jesus is also invited, that tells us that this may or potentially could have been a family friend, right? Because Mary's at the wedding, Jesus is at the wedding. So this tells us that this could have been a family friend. This could have been a neighbor's wedding, someone that Jesus and Mary knew from way back in the day. I mean, who knows? It could have been. And both Jesus and Mary are at this wedding. So when Jesus shows up to this wedding, you got to understand, this Jesus' fame is not known yet. This is only actually the third day of his coming out party, and I hate using that term, but y'all know what I mean, right? He came out because this is the third day. He's baptized by John the Baptist, and now this is the third day of him coming out, and now he is at this wedding. So Jesus, at this time right now, he's not famous, well-known Jesus. You got to understand, this is very regular, plain old Jesus at this wedding. At this wedding, this is Jesus from the block, so to speak. This is just regular old Jesus, Joseph's son, the carpenter. I'm sure at this wedding here, it's people that probably seen Jesus like, "Oh, Jesus." You know, you go to parties or weddings where ain't nobody seen you in a long time, and they say, "Whoa, my, haven't you gotten so big? Look at you." I'm sure there was some of that with Jesus. Maybe there was one of those aunties there, like, "Come here, give your auntie a hug. Boy, look at old Jesus. I remember you was little. Look how big you got." I mean, you don't know. He's just regular old Jesus right now. He's just regular Jesus from the block. He's not the miracle worker at this point. He's nude. I mean, he hasn't really shown his glory yet. This is, as you read at the beginning, in verse 11, this is the beginning of his signs. So he's just really plain old Jesus for the most part. He's not well known. So they're at the wedding, right? And at this wedding, the wedding party runs out of wine. Party foul, right? That's what they say in the world, party foul. Now, this is going to be the first time you've ever heard me say this statement that I'm going to say right now. And that statement is, thank God for Mary, right? And I say thank God for Mary because, one, you have to understand, in this first century context, this first century Middle Eastern context, this is an honor-shame society. Do you know how much shame would have been brought on this family if they ran out of wine and everybody knew it? This would be a major act of shame. They would lose face in society. This shame would follow them for years. So by Mary going and even bringing this to Jesus, Jesus is actually saving their honor in one regard. So thank God, one, for Mary, because she is really saving their honor and bringing this issue to Jesus because they ran out of wine. So that's just one. Thank God that Mary is doing something about it, one. The other thing why I say thank God for Mary is because Mary, in this passage here, she teaches us a lesson. She teaches us a lesson, and then she sets the bar really, 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 really low. And you say, she sets the bar low for what? She sets the bar really low for the things that we can approach Jesus for. Because think about it, throughout the Gospels, and when I say throughout the Gospels, I'm talking about the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When I say throughout the Gospels, we see people coming to Jesus for a number of reasons, right? We see people coming to Jesus for things like leprosy, right? We see people coming to Jesus for the lame, right, wanting to walk. We see people coming to Jesus that are blind and they want their sight. We've seen the woman with the issue of blood, right? She's coming to Jesus for that. Those are serious, serious issues and problems. But what was Mary's problem? Mary's problem, which was not really her problem, but her problem, which was not really her problem, was that the wedding that she was at, the wedding party, ran out of wine. That's Mary's problem. That's the issue you're going to bring Jesus. They ran out of wine. And I mean, think about it. Mary knew that Jesus was special. She knew that he was special. How? Because the angel Gabriel came to her personally and announced that she would give birth to the Son of God. Personally. And that he would reign over the house of Jacob forever, and that his kingdom would have no end. So she knew that he was special, and the problem that she ran out to Jesus for was they ran out of wine at the party? Mary, that's just maybe a little bit beneath him. Just a little, like, just maybe. I mean, the Son of God reigning forever, and the problem and the issue is wine, right? I mean, that is what I mean. That Mary set the bar low for us. She set the bar low for us. So if she can come to Jesus for wine that you will drink and it'll be gone out of your body, then that means that I can come to Jesus for the smallest, minute, the smallest issue, no matter what it is, whether it's my daycare teacher I got issues with, or whether it's gas prices, or whether it's my assignment at work, or whether it's my assignment at school, whatever the smallest, minute thing I could bring to the feet of Jesus. So thank you, Mary, for setting the bar so low. She set that bar low, and I'm thankful for it that she set it low. I even thinking about Sister Debbie, I remember a few, maybe even months ago, you told the church you were praising God for the parking spot that opened up. Yes. Do you remember that? I think you were taking, yeah, you said you were taking mom or somewhere to the doctor, to the bank, and you had to get close or something, and a parking spot opened up. And yeah, Jesus can manifest his glory in many ways. So we need to start looking for God, saints, in the small things, not just the big things. In the small things, we can see his glory being manifested. Now, what else can we glean from Mary here in this passage? What else can we glean from Mary? Well, we learn about faith from Mary. Just think about it. Look at the direction that she gives the waiter or the servant. What does she say to the waiter or the servant? Whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever that he says to you, waiter, do it. See, Mary was rocking Nikes before Nikes. You know how Nike is just do it? She's the original Nike. She says, whatever he says to do, you just do it, basically. That's what Mary says. So in plain language, Mary is basically telling this waiter that he may tell you to do something really crazy or really strange, but no matter what it is, just do it. That's basically, she's giving him a warning that what he may tell you may sound outlandish. What he may tell you may sound weird and strange, but no matter what he says, just do it. He may tell you something like to turn the other cheek, but just do it. He may tell you something that, like, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, but just do it. He may tell you to treat everyone that you encounter like your neighbor, but just do it. He may tell you to sell all of your possessions and give all of your proceeds to the poor and follow me, but just do it. It may sound crazy. It may sound strange. It may not go with the world's ways, but because Jesus said it, what? Just do it. So that's what happens. It's a lot of things in the scripture that I don't get, that's strange to me, to my own personal sensibilities. Things that I'm saying, Jesus, that doesn't make sense to me, but Jesus said it. If the Son of God said it, if the one who beat death said it, if the one who rose from the grave said it, if he said it, then Jesus said it, and that's it. That settles it. Now, we don't know much about Jesus' childhood throughout Scripture. We don't know about Jesus' teenage years. We don't know how that went, but Mary's instruction to this servant here seems to suggest that this is not her first rodeo with Jesus. I mean, I know this is just speculation, But it seems to suggest that maybe she's seen him work a miracle or two, or maybe she's seen him do something, and that nothing is out of the realm of possibility. So she's giving him this instruction, this word, that whatever Jesus says to do, you just do it. What's the next thing? How do I want to break this next part? I'll just keep going. So the instruction is provided to the waiter for Mary. Whatever he says, just do it. And then right on cue, what does Jesus do? He tells the servant to go and fill up the 30 gallons of water pots that are sitting aside for the Jewish purification. He tells him to go fill that pot to the brim. And then he tells him to scoop out a cup of water and to give that water to the head waiter. So think about that. They're out of wine. Mary tells Jesus. Jesus tells the head waiter to fill these cups, these drums to the brim, scoop out a cup, and now give it to the head servant of the party. But wait, Jesus. They're out of wine, not water, right? See, this would likely have been the response of many of us. If Jesus was right there and he gave us this response when we know that they're out of wine and he told us to go fill these water jugs up, we would be like, Jesus, I get what you're saying, but they are not out of water, Jesus. They're out of wine. That is the response that many of us likely would have done, because oftentimes, saints, we put limits on God. We can't see beyond the brim of what God is working and doing. And so many times when God tells us these outlandish things, we don't understand and don't do it. Why? Because we put limits on God. We put these regulations on God. But God is the rule creator. He can create and modify rules to do whatever he wants. He can manipulate the laws of nature to do whatever he wants, and that is what he does. But many of us, if Jesus would have gave us this instruction, we would have sit there and debated with Jesus. We would have been like, Jesus, your mom said that they are out of wine, not water. We would have been talking to Jesus like he's hard of hearing, but no. From the scriptures, we do not hear this pushback at all from the servant. At least what's written, Jesus gives him this outlandish, this crazy, this strange thing of filling these pots, dipping it, and giving it to the head waiter, and we don't really get any description or hear any pushback from the waiter. The waiter seems to just do whatever Jesus told him to do. And saints, we need obedience like that. That is the obedience that we need. And think about it. This waiter, this servant, he's not working with anything. Remember, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So Jesus hasn't done any miracle yet that he can say, oh, he's done this before. He hasn't heard of Jesus doing any miracle. Why? Because Jesus hasn't done any miracles yet. So he has nothing to work from. He's just doing whatever Jesus said. He's just doing it. Unlike you and I who have a whole new Testament Bible with all of the works and miraculous things of Jesus. And not only do we have a whole new Testament, we got the work of Jesus in our own life. Yet when he tells us to do something, when the Holy Spirit is moving in us, we don't do whatever he told us to do. He had nothing, this servant. No interaction with Jesus, nothing miraculous, but he does what Jesus tells him to do. The way it goes, gets the cup, scoops it, and gives it to the head waiter. And the head waiter says, my guy, you've been holding back on us. No, he doesn't say that. But the head waiter drinks the water that has turned to wine, and he realized this is some really good tasting wine. So Jesus turns, again, this water into wine. He saves the party. He saves the wedding guests. He saves their honor. He saves them from shame. But here's the thing, this is not the true fullness of the miracle. The true fullness of the miracle is not just Jesus turning this water into wine. But the miracle is that Jesus, he turned something ordinary, something plain, something common, into a brand new substance. He transformed something ordinary, saints, something plain into something that is now exquisite, to something now that is a benefit to others and to the world. That is the real miracle there. He takes something ordinary and plain, like Matthew the tax collector, and transforms him into a leader in his church. He takes something ordinary and plain, like some just fishermen out there fishing, and he makes them mighty man of God. See, this first miracle was a telltale sign of the transformative power of Jesus and the power of the kingdom of God. That is what this miracle is showing us here. The transformative power of Jesus and the transformative power of the kingdom of God. How he can take something ordinary and plain and make it valuable and make it exquisite and make it something that people desire. Oh my goodness, that is what Jesus is doing here, saints. And the good news is that this transformative power that we're reading here in the scripture, saints, this transformative power, guess what? It is still here. It is still here. Jesus can still right now turn the ordinary and the plain into something exquisite, saints. It's still here. So, saints, question, what is ordinary and plain in your life that is in need of transformation? Think about it. What is just so ordinary and plain in your life that is in need of transformation? What about your marriage? Is that plain and ordinary? Is that in need of transformation into something exquisite? Mary already lowered the bar for us. She already lowered the bar. If she can come to Jesus for wine, then I can come to Jesus for transformation in my marriage. I can come to Jesus for transformation in my relationships, including my relationship with him. Amen. She can do that, then I can do this. But here's the caveat. You're like, there's a catch. Here's the caveat, and what we've been reading. If we want the miracle, if we want to see the transformative power, the question we must ask ourselves, are we willing to do whatever he says? Are we willing to do whatever he says? Because sometimes God may have us play a role in our own miracle. Think the walls of Jericho. The people had to actually walk, so they actually had to participate in the miracle that God was going to do. They actually had to walk around the walls and blow their horns, their chauffeurs. They actually had to participate in the miracle that Jesus, that the Lord was doing. So if you're asking God to turn water into wine in your situation, the question is, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to do whatever he says? You see what the waiter did? He filled up the cups. Jesus said it didn't make any sense. He said to go fill up the jars. He went and filled up the jars with water. He took the cup out and he gave it to the head waiter. He did whatever Jesus says. But are you willing to do whatever he says, saints? You want the transformation, you want the power, but do you have the obedience to do whatever he says if he's going to use you to work in this miracle? What if he says you need to cancel or pause your social media accounts? Would you do whatever he says there? Or what if he says you need to get off that favorite website, whatever you like? Would you do that? Like, what is your limit, saints? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to do? Is there a limit for whatever he says in your life? Is it like, no, Jesus, that's off limits? Or is it open? Are you like the waiter here that says, okay, whatever you say, Jesus, I'm going to go and do? Or is there a limit? Whatever he says. Yes, it may be something crazy, maybe something that's strange, but it's whatever he says. I'm reminded of Peter. Somebody give me Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 6. And just read it once you get it. Chapter 5, verse 4 through 6. Nothing.
But I will do as you say, let down the nets. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break.
See what happened with Peter there? Peter's a fisherman. Peter's been fishing all night. He's a fisherman. He knows the water. Jesus tells him to cast out his net. And he's like, Lord, Already did that, basically. Already did that. The fish ain't biting. I promise you that it's not good. But I'll do what you say, despite, even though this makes no sense to me because I've been fishing all night. Fish is not in season, Jesus. I'm a fisherman. This is what I do. I know this. Trust me, we've been fishing all night. We're not catching anything. But because you said it, I will do it. And what happens? He gets the fish. He gets the huge catch. It's doing whatever he says. Even when, again, it doesn't make sense to us. Even when it doesn't go along with my sensibilities, will I do whatever he says? Like the waiter. When I read the word, am I going to follow it? Am I willing to do again whatever my Lord says, even if it doesn't align with how I think things should be? Will I do whatever he says? Now, the crazy thing about how this event ends, this wedding, is the waiter hands, the servant hands the water to the head waiter that's turned into wine. The head waiter tastes the wine and says, this is fabulous. But guess who gets the credit for this fabulous, great tasting wine? And think about it, I always use this, if you drank before, I know some of us may not, but if you drank before, you know that. Let's say you go to a party or a wedding or whatever, if you drink, you're really going to taste that first drink, right? Full alcohol, you're going to taste it. But a little bit later, after maybe you had another one, everything just starts tasting the same, right? Just whatever you drink, it kind of all tastes the same. And that's the point that this waiter's making here. He's like, normally people say you drink the good wine first, and then at the end, when everybody's kind of liquored up and good, you serve the bad stuff because people won't really tell the difference because they already, you know, their senses are off basically already. But he says that, whoa, even at the end, this stuff is so good, it's breaking through. I can still taste this. He said, this is good stuff. And he gives the credit to who in this passage? No, he gives it to Jesus, right? Doesn't he give it to Jesus because Jesus, wait, doesn't he give it to Jesus? I'm joking when I do this, please. Okay. Yeah, I'm not. I'm sorry. Maybe I did that too well because some of you guys were looking at me like, he really. Okay. But no, he doesn't give the credit to Jesus. He gives the credit to the bride's groom. So when they say, wait, we just discovered a cure for this disease, the Lord in his mercy gets the credit, right? Nope, our world of scientists gets the credit, right? Or when they say, wait, we just created a new technology that improves people's quality of life, God gets the credit, right? Nope, in our world, the inventor generally gets the credit. But us saints, with eyes to see, we know where the glory belongs, like those disciples. They knew where the glory belongs. And we know that any act of mercy from God, whether it's to cure disease or technology that makes life better, we know that this comes from the Lord. And this should grow our faith just as it did these disciples here. This miracle grew their faith. It said that the disciples believed in him. The disciples' minds were blown by the manifestation of Jesus' glory through this miracle here that we see the water turned into wine. Their minds were blown. They came there believing in the Jesus who they believed was the Messiah, but then they left with their mind blown like, whoa, who is this man? He just turned water into wine. And saints, my prayer for you, I'm closing here, my prayer for you is that for the rest of your lives, on through eternity, that your minds and our minds continually get blown away by the glory and majesty of Jesus. Because if you think about this, this is at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. This is his first miracles. From here on out, the disciples get to have their mind blown over and over and over and over again. It's like, whoa, now he's healing the person with leprosy. Whoa, now he's giving the guy that was blind sight. Whoa, now he's multiplying the fish and the bread. Whoa, now he's making the lame walk. Whoa, now he's speaking to the storm, right? Whoa, now he's raising the dead. Like, they just get their mind blown over and they thought that this water turned into wine was the big stuff. This was only the beginning. Jesus just kept blowing their mind over and over and over again as they're seeing his glory. And saints, that is my prayer for you, that you don't have this tired, boring old little, I accepted Jesus in my hard faith, but no, you have this real relationship, and that daily Jesus is blowing you away, your mind, you're like, oh my goodness, Jesus, you're so beautiful. Whoa, I didn't even see that in the scripture. Like, I pray that you are getting blown away like these disciples each and every day as Jesus manifests his glory in and throughout your life, saints, that you are seeing this glory. If not, again, I pray that you don't have this boring. Jesus is not boring, saints. The Bible is not boring. I love this theologian that said, it's not that the Bible is boring. He said, you're boring. Jesus is not boring. The Word of God is not boring. I pray that the Lord is just blowing you away as you go throughout life and you're seeing his hand work in your life and other people's life and you're just seeing his glory and you're just blown away. You should never stop being blown away by Jesus. Jesus never gets to a point where you're just familiar and you're bored of Jesus. No, Jesus is inexhaustible. I mean, you can forever learn more and more about Jesus. We're going to spend eternity just going deeper into the glories of God and learning more and more about this Lord. You never get bored of God. You never get tired of Christ. You want to forever grow and just have your mind blown by his glory like these disciples did. They had no idea what they were in for. That this was only the beginning, that they were going to see so much more glory, and that glory is still available today, saints. So don't give up. Jesus is still transforming. He's still doing things, saints. Don't give up. Keep your faith in him. Call out to him. He will do it. He will do it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good. We thank you for your word. God, as my brothers and sisters go home from here, Lord, will you continue to just speak to them through your scripture, God. Feed their soul, the thing that's inside of them, God, that's struggling, that's a struggle for them, Lord. God, will you speak to that issue? Will you bring healing, God, just by your presence, by your voice, Lord God. Reveal more of yourself to them, God. May they just fall more ever and ever in love with you, Jesus. Manifest your glory, God. Let them see you, Lord. I pray that my brothers and sisters just have their mind blown each and every day as they spend time with you, God. You are the treasure, Jesus. Help our eyes to just see more of your glory as we go forward each and every day. This is our prayer. Amen.